invite Neil Williams to us now to bring us God's Word, and let's pray that the Lord will strengthen him and anoint him with the Spirit.
Okay, great. Thanks. Great. If you would turn with me to Hebrews 12. We're going to be looking at Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2 this morning. I'd like to begin with reading that. Hear the word of God. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Pray with me. Gracious, merciful, Heavenly Father, we come now to your word given to us to guide and to teach, to correct, to call us to repentance, to show us the way, to point us to you, to glorify yourself. Open our ears and our eyes to hear the good news and to follow you, the founder and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, whom we pray. Amen. Well, it is good this morning to be surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. One of the joys of missionary service is getting to go to different congregations, is the ability to travel from central Florida to the coast of North Carolina, to the hills of Tennessee, to the coasts of California, and back to Columbia, South Carolina. Now, some of you think, wow, did you really? That's what we've done this summer. That's what we've done over these last 2 months, is we've traveled throughout the Southeast and even to the West Coast to get to visit with congregations like Rose Hill Presbyterian Church, to be in their midst and to be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You are our cloud of witnesses. As we serve and minister in Central Asia, you support and pray for us. And for us, coming back, traveling around, sharing, sleeping in different rooms with different pillows and eating food that people give us that we have no choice over, and all the challenges of having to travel around the U.S. and live with different people is a small, small price to pay to get to be in your midst and to know and to feel and to be encouraged by such a cloud of witnesses. People that we have known for over 20 years. People who knew me as a single man before I married when I was studying at Columbia. People who attended my wedding, who helped with my rehearsal dinner. People who have been praying for me and my family for over 20 years. People who've known Debbie for 30 years that we get to come and spend time with and to look out to you and be encouraged to run the race that God has given us. You are our cloud of witnesses. I could tell you about all the different people we've gotten to meet. It's been a joy to reconnect with this cloud of witnesses that cheers us on. And that's what we see here in Hebrews in the first verse, where the writer of Hebrews is helping the community of God to remember that they're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And that cloud of witnesses is found in the 11th chapter. And you know it well, these heroes of faith who lived out their lives looking to God, running different races. They all had different races. They all had different callings and things that they were to accomplish and to do. But yet they had one thing in common: faith, looking to God. And the writer of Hebrews says, remember, you have this cloud of witnesses. You have this group of people that are surrounding you, that are cheering you on. He sets the stage as, you know, like the great Colosseums that we know of in Roman and Greek times, where there would be stadiums of people. People surrounding football teams, cheering them on. This cloud of witnesses cheering on 11, 22 people, playing a game, running their race. The Olympics this last year, watching it on TV and seeing this huge stadium of 80,000 plus people cheering on those competing. And so first and foremost, the writer of Hebrews wants us to remember that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And for us, as we've traveled around, we've been reminded of that, as we've heard the story of Norm Hare, one of our good friends, who lost his wife young to cancer, but has been faithful to run his race. People given different races, but as we are surrounded by them, and as we look to the Scriptures, and we read of how people have kept the faith, it should encourage us. So people of God, one of the first questions I have for you this morning is, who is your cloud of witnesses? Is it just Hebrews 11? Or is it the people sitting next to you? It's a shame that not every Christian has to write a prayer letter or a newsletter. How often we think, wow, it would be great to know what's happening in our friends' lives. Only if they would quarterly write a prayer letter or a newsletter to help us know of what God is doing in their lives. It's one of the things that we have to do as a part of our ministry in communicating back to our cloud of witnesses. Are you sharing with others what God is doing in your life? Are you sharing with the cloud of witnesses that God has given you? Are you sharing about God's faithfulness in your life? I hope so. I think that's our calling. I think that's part of what we're being reminded of here, is don't forget the cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, that have stood before, that have set an example of what it means to trust in God. So now that we have this cloud of witnesses, now that we are surrounded by them, the writer of Hebrews tells us to lay aside, to get ready for the competition, to lay aside everything that would encumber, all the sin which so easily entangles. I think here there's two ideas that he's referring to. One is easy to see, is sin. Does sin keep you, hinder you from doing what God wants you to do? Absolutely. Who argues with that? But it's often not those big, gross sins that those of us in the church struggle with. We think, just like our Muslim friends, we can often water down sin and we can say, I don't kill anybody. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't do the big sins. But here, the idea is you're getting ready for a race. You want minimal hindrances. You want a pair of sneakers and running shorts. You do not want to be hindered in the race. He's talking about those sins of bitterness or selfishness or pride or greed that can hinder us Christian, are you running your race that way? Are you looking at your life and asking God to show you anything that is hindering you from fully running the race that God has called you to? Again, as missionaries, one of the challenges is packing and hauling treasure to and fro. As we get ready to leave this Tuesday back for Azerbaijan, we're in the midst of packing. We're in the midst of thinking, what is it that we want to take back to Azerbaijan? With three children who have just come to the promised land and are filling their bags full of books and Nintendo games and treasure. We're looking at the bags and saying, is this really all that we need to take? Do we want to take these things? But we all have things that we want, that we like, whether it's chocolate chips for chocolate chip cookies, or whether it's things from our favorite store, our favorite candy. Are those things in and of themselves wrong? Absolutely not. But are we before the Lord asking, are these things we need in our race? Are these things we should have for the race that you have called us to? Are we at least asking the question? How much have we accumulated as Americans? How much do we have seeing our friends in Azerbaijan who live in small villages and small simple homes with hardly any furniture, with a couple pairs of clothes? Content, happy with what God has given them. And yet, we are often not content. We're wanting more. I've seen the commercials since we've been here. What is it, T-Mobile, who's telling you that you can renew your phone every year or every 2 years because eventually you'll have a cell phone and you'll say, I want a new one, I want a new this. We're surrounded by it. So are we throwing off or are we gathering? Are we like a magnet that runs past a field of shredded metal, just picking up little pieces along the way? What does it mean to throw off? I think here the image as well is not just sin. That's obvious. But it's also those good things that hinder us. Those good things. In these days, when they would train for Olympic events, sometimes to practice, they would run with a stone, or they would do the long jump with a stone to build strength. I remember basketball players would use a heavy basketball to build their strength for shooting. But when it came to the game, they didn't want the heavy thing. They didn't want the heavy ball. They didn't want stones to carry. That was for training. When it was time to compete, you threw off everything, even good things. Brothers and sisters, it is hard to throw off things that we like, that are good. The internet is a wonderful tool. It can serve many good purposes, but it can also hinder us from prayer, from spending time with people, from being active. There are good things in this world. We are allowed to eat and drink and be merry. God has created us to be joyous. But have those good things still become hindrances? That is what the writer of Hebrews is calling us to. To ask ourselves, are we throwing those things off? But the area that I wanted to focus on this morning primarily is this idea of running the race. It is an idea. I've started running this last 6 months. I've never been a big runner. I was active. I enjoyed sports. But I never really enjoyed running for exercise. That wasn't my idea of a good time, playing basketball or soccer or some sport or volleyball. But as I've started running, I have a better sense, a better understanding of what it means to run with endurance, what it takes to run a long race. I haven't run a long race. few miles here or there, 3 miles, 5 miles. But I certainly don't want to run carrying a backpack, carrying treasure. And the writer of Hebrews here is helping us to understand that we have an endurance race. It's not a short race. Brothers and sisters, are you running a short race or are you running a long race? Do you have the long race in perspective? Many of us think our race is a few years. Some of us even understand that our race is 80 years. But do we understand that our race is an eternity? That we are running. It is a race of faith. When will we have to stop looking to Christ? When will we stop looking to Him? The race is a long race. It's a difficult race. Therefore, we need to throw things off. But our races are different. 20 years ago, when I embarked on the race that God had given me, I did not know all that it would entail. When Debbie and I set out, happily married, embarking on the race that God had given us to serve overseas, we did not know all the turns and hills and woods that God would give us. For God gives each of us different races. Part of our joy this summer has been meeting people with different races. Some who teach in universities. Some who work with satellites. Some who work in hospitals. Some who work in business and accounting. Who work at a tire repair shop. At an ice cream shop. Hearing different people's stories and different people's callings. Understanding that we all have different races. And a part of our work overseas is working with people to help them understand the race that God has called them to. There are two dear friends that I have. One is Ilyos. He lives in a small village in Uzbekistan. He's great with his hands. He's entrepreneurial. He's a believer. He and his wife are the only believers in his village. God has given them a race to run of witness and of work and of struggling to provide for their family. Then another brother, Pervis, and his wife, Zenfira. Educated, gifted, able to make good money, able to work successfully, but yet called to serve the church. Faithfully serving the church. Their races are very different. One urban, one rural. One with greater economic opportunity. One with no economic opportunity. Yet both of them called to look to Jesus. Both of them called to be faithful in their race and to run it well. Both called to throw off those things that hinder them from the race. What is your race? What has God called you to do? Some of you are at the beginning of your life, young, and thinking, I don't know what God has called me to do. Right now, maybe it's just to go to school and honor my father and mother and obey my father and mother. And to learn to work out my faith in my family with my brothers and sisters. Some of you are in college studying. You think God's called you to do business or accounting or nursing. And you're trying to work out your calling and figure out what the race is God has for you. Some of you are in the middle of your lives. You've done well. And you're trying to understand. Kids have gone off to college or have married. And you're trying to understand what's the next part of your race. Some of you have retired and are running, continuing to run your race. In prayer and faithfulness and service and mentoring and caring for others. Each of us has a race to run. Each of our races have been given to us by the Lord Jesus to run in faithfulness. Each of us is called to throw off those things that hinder us from running our race. As a missionary, one of the hardest things for us is the glorification of the missionary call. Wow, how can you do that? How could you give up so much? How could you go to those places? Brothers and sisters, it's the call of God. It's our race. It's the race that God has given us. It's not your race. Maybe some of your races, and you need to get on that race, but I don't know. That's between you and God. But God has given you a race. I can't run your race. I can't do what you're doing. I have to do what God has called us to do. Our family is called to run this race. And God gives grace and mercy to run the race that He has called you to run. And so, yes, we have certain things we have to throw off. There are certain things that we have to do without. But God has put us in a city where there are a lot of great things we get to enjoy that maybe you don't get to enjoy. Our children love the fresh juices that we get to have. They come to America and they see apple juice and grape juice. And they ask, where's the blackcurrant juice? Where's the peach juice? Where's the cherry juice? They don't have those in America. Poor, poor America. We go to the bread and we look at the poor bread that you have to eat and the price you have to pay. We have fresh breads of all sorts and also priced very reasonably. There are things that we have that we enjoy. Part of it is running your race, and God gives grace to enjoy what He has given you. But how do we get that joy? How do we get to the point where, regardless of our race, whether it's in a rural community or an urban community, whether it's in direct Christian service or in indirect Christian service, whether it's being a part of the business community or being a part of the agricultural community, how do we run the race? Again, I call you to throw off those things that hinder you, as the writer of Hebrews does. But he also calls us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I think this is significant for a number of reasons. First reason I'd like to point out is that God did not call you to run Jesus' race. You are not to run Jesus' race. It was Jesus' race. It was the race that God sent Him to run. He called Him to run. And how did He run it? He ran it in perfection. He ran it completely. And He ran it with joy. He finished it. It was for our benefit and on our behalf that He ran His race. The sufferings that He went through, the temptations that He went through, the things that He had to accomplish, none of us could accomplish. And that is whom we are supposed to fix our eyes on. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one, the author, the founder, the perfecter of the faith. Like those before us, we're to run in faith. Faith with our eyes fixed on God, with the hope that He has given us, with the promises that He has set before us. We run. It's because of that that we're able to throw things off.